In the case of examination by reason, human reasoning must itself contain a large degree of fullness in order to begin to open the door/gate that gives birth to the facilities of higher reasoning that is beyond organic limitations. For the reasons outlined in the article An Inconvenient Truth, the Apostle Peter portrays the initial tests of human reasoning as the tests presented in what he portrays the Scriptures as the mystery of the books with the power to deceive. If your vision of either the Scriptures or any aspect of life itself is immature and lacks depth of understanding, then you will fail the tests that are written into the text of the Scriptures as a test, as are the inconsistencies that you encounter in all of life. And thus, Peter states that, "Let not any one of you, therefore, altogether complain of Simon, or of anyone else, for nothing happens unjustly, since even the falsehoods of Scripture are with good reason presented for a test." What is the reason for the test? In the same way that for our own good, such things as the law of gravity checks our attempt to become free of the influence of the earth, the laws which bring about the natural progression of our movements are themselves imbued with the innate biofeedback qualities to test and check these same movements for wholeness and fullness, because it is impossible for what is incomplete to succeed beyond a certain step or progression in the sequence of actions. In the same way that an embryo that is not correctly balanced across the spectrum of male/female chromosomes is in most cases self-aborted and miscarried, so too is all the efforts of man checked by the very laws that initiated the natural sequences of progression, imbued with the power to return the movement to its initial sequence in accord with the results of the testing at the third to fourth sequence of progression. By virtue of the self-initiating testing of the laws, without an understanding of what the deists portrayed as the laws of nature and nature's God, all governments are doomed to failure, all religions are spiritually flatlined, all philosophies are proven to be spurious, all seekers will search in vain, and all efforts of men and women everywhere will remain shallow at best. And while this knowledge of the laws can be portrayed as our divine birthright to possess, throughout history only small groups of wise men and women have possessed this knowledge, and have used it for the benefit of both themselves and other wise men and women who desired the fruit of the tree of life that bestows upon the eater thereof the secrets to unlocking the potential to every aspect of life. To be ignorant of the laws that the deists and other groups throughout history have understood and utilized in the proper way is to invite absolute failure into one's efforts throughout every aspect of life. Deism arose out of what was called the Age of Enlightenment, also known as the Age of Reason, and is portrayed in the words, "To understand the natural world and humankind's place in it solely on the basis of reason, and without turning to religious belief, was the goal of the wide-ranging intellectual movement called the Enlightenment." The movement claimed the allegiance of a majority of thinkers during the 17th and 18th centuries, a period that Thomas Paine called the Age of Reason. At its heart, it became a conflict between religion and the inquiring mind that wanted to know and understand through reason based on evidence and proof. See International World History Project subheading The Age of Enlightenment. And what is not at all understood is the fact that in essence, the summation that the Age of Enlightenment was representative of, a conflict between religion and the inquiring mind, but rather, a continuation of the enduring struggle and perpetual conflict that is presented in the article An Inconvenient Truth, is what we call religion truly the expression of genuine religion? Or is what most people call religion more factually secular religious philosophy that not only inhibits, but is mistaken for genuine spiritual religion? Throughout man's history, the outward forms of religion has always been dictated by the secular or quasi-secular authorities who use traditional religion to control the thinking and lives of the people. From an historical perspective, if the teachings of Jesus represented the truth of spiritual religion, then the rejection of this truth on the part of the Pharisees is representative of the secularized religion of the people. Contrary to popular misconceptions, in the original gospel teachings, the person of Jesus was a man who became the Messiah/Christ, see the 10 words, and having attained this power of enlightenment, the man Jesus is portrayed as having achieved oneness with the indwelling Logos, mind of God. That this essential truth was again rejected by the secular religion of the Gentiles under the banner of Orthodox is merely further proof that secular religion is not the valid expression of genuine religion, which is spiritual in nature. which means that the deists who became enlightened and opposed organized religion did so because of the counterfeit structure of secular religion in relation to genuine spiritual religion. If we pose the question, is traditional religion a search for truth? Or is it, 1, a means to fill the coffers of the collection plate? 2, fill the pews in the endeavor to gain political power and advantage? 3, used by politicians to control the thinking and lives of the people? In the same way that Jesus was rejected by both the Pharisees and the Gentile church, which both rejected the essential spiritual teachings in favor of man-made dogma, organized religion is at best a shadow of the original teachings, which is represented in the reality of spiritual religion, which is always condemned as heresy by the authorities who control the thinking of the people. That those who have been on the side of truth have always been hunted down and opposed as heretics is representative of the true essence of the struggle and conflict. To answer the question, is the traditional religions of the people the truth? Perhaps the perfect example of the folly of traditional religion is that which can only be portrayed as the insanity of the Christian world with respect to the Jesus test. To knowingly edit the words which the gospel states was spoken by God to mankind in order to adopt pagan beliefs must be seen as an apostasy even more evil than those who hammered the spikes into the hands of Jesus. The fact that what we would portray as organic human reasoning must be free to express itself in order for higher reasoning that transcends organic human limitations to be born, and the development of higher reasoning is always one of the key objectives of true religion. Only with this enlightened age of enlightenment understanding can we even begin to understand the perpetual struggle at its core. Higher reason and knowledge, which is often portrayed as being esoteric, was always condemned as heresy by the pseudo-religion of common man, because it always threatened the power structure of the authorities, whether these authorities were quasi-religious in their cloak of appearance, or non-religious and atheist in their outer form. In the example of Thomas Paine in the above, while he opposed the church, he was not only opposed by the King of England, but he was prosecuted in absentia and sentenced to death for opposing the power structure of England, which used the religious cloak in its endeavor to control the thinking of the people. Therefore, it must be understood that when we attempt to define the conflict between reason and religion, it is imperative to recognize that traditional religion is pseudo-religion and quasi-religion at best, and that the real conflict is in fact an internal religious struggle between the outer spurious system of counterfeit religious facade and the pseudo-authorities who use and control that facade like wolves in sheep's attire, in their perpetual war with the inner core who are representative of the spiritual essence of religion, who are portrayed as heretics and enemies of both church and state. Confining our present understanding to that of our common era, when the Church of the Roman Empire hunted down and murdered the Ebionites and spiritual, Gnostic, Christians who refused to adhere to the religious doctrines of the emperor, the spirit of Christianity was put to death. And what was preserved was a corpse that was secular in nature and had absolutely nothing in common with the essence of the original spiritual teachings of Jesus. That valid religion must be spiritual in nature, and spiritual religion is based upon a foundation of genuine knowledge and the expression of reason in all things, then we must reevaluate the statement that the Age of Enlightenment was representative of a conflict between religion and the inquiring mind, and instead recognize that what is spurious and counterfeit always opposes what is true and genuine. Further, we must also recognize that in order for higher reasoning to be born, what can best be portrayed as organic human reasoning must be unshackled and free to express itself in its avenues of inquiry. The fact that truth is never diminished by disbelief and reason is never negated by irrationality ensures that higher truth and reason is perpetually awaiting rediscovery whenever it is hidden under the garb of man's folly, superstition, and ignorance that is promoted by pseudo-religion and counterfeit authority. In the example of Christianity, when Jesus warned that the vast majority of mankind dwells in what he portrayed as the outer darkness of mind and being, see outer darkness, what is not understood is the fact that this disenfranchised condition, which is often portrayed as man's organic blindness to what lies beyond his physical senses, is the result of man's own mindset that alienates him from the source of truth within himself. What is important to recognize is the fact that the solution to overcoming the blindness that Jesus portrayed as the outer darkness of mind and being was for the individual to put on the necessary wedding garment. And it must also be noted that those people who were considered the chosen ones received an even worse fate than the common people who had not yet put on the wedding garment. And the fact that the scriptures openly warn that the fate of the believers who are complacent is worse than that of the unbelievers. See, and when analyzed, this complacency can only be portrayed as Christian insanity. See the Jesus test. Then it becomes truly difficult to even understand how the congregation of believers even think. And once this segmentation of mind and being is understood as the natural result of the laws which the deists often referred to as the laws of nature and nature's God, it is man's own disenfranchised condition of mind brought about by his ignorance of these laws that not only alienates him from the source of truth, but maintains the great barrier to his perception of truth and reason which the biblical authors warned was beyond man's organic mindset. See mystery. In the same way that a great mountain range creates a barrier between a lowland and what exists on the other side of the peaks, there exists a natural organic barrier that is both created and maintained by the natural laws, and this barrier exists within the mind of man that insulates him from what lies beyond. Again, from a Christian perspective, this esoteric knowledge of the laws was taught to the disciples by Jesus, and it was this body of esoteric knowledge that permitted them to escape and move beyond the organic barrier within their own mind, and being enabling them to enter the inner kingdom and learn all truths from the source. That this body of esoteric knowledge was lost by the church and became outlawed as heresy by the pseudo-authorities of the church only means that the church, by virtue of its adoption of pagan Roman doctrines of belief, disenfranchised those who adopted and embraced the system of pseudo-religious beliefs. In contradistinction, those who released themselves from the shackles of man-made church dogma and pursued a search from truth were able to meet with varying degrees of success because the source of truth remains within them beyond the natural barrier maintained by the laws of nature and nature's God. That the acquisition and access to higher reasoning is therefore born from the enlightened exercise of human reasoning that enables a person to reject the superstition and man-made dogma of the church in their search for truth, represents an integral element of the true spiritual religious path of true enlightenment. Therefore, the deists who emerged out of the Age of Enlightenment applied the God-given gift of reason and knowledge of the laws of nature and nature's God to reject the dogmatic folly of traditional institutionalized religion, which was man-made and maintained under secular control, as a springboard to tap into the source of higher reasoning that resided on the other side of the natural barrier within their own mind and being, as is the case with all of mankind. Therefore, those who we call deists today were very much the seekers of the esoteric knowledge that was possessed by the original disciples of Jesus, and thus, they were truly Gnostic, experiential spiritual knowledge. In many respects, after the people broke free of the folly of the Church of Rome, it can be realized that deism grew out of the absolute irrationality and insanity that was promoted by the leaders of the Reformation, Calvin and Luther. That is, deism stood in opposition to Luther's folly, which was a total rejection of rational thought, as seen in Luther's declaration, "Reason is the greatest enemy that faith has. It never comes to the aid of spiritual things, but, more frequently than not, struggles against the divine word, treating with contempt all that emanates from God," quoted in The Great Thoughts, compiled by George Seltz. Deists understood the laws of nature and nature's God because they received this esoteric knowledge directly from the source, which is in fact the same true objective as traditional religion, which modern people associated with deism portray as revealed religion. While this body of esoteric knowledge was always available to all of mankind, they perpetually alienated themselves from the source of knowledge because they subjected their thinking to the doctrines and dogma of men. Further, in not understanding the application of the key of knowledge, even the modern neo-deists are as ignorant of the true meaning of the scriptures as is the faith-based religions which they often oppose. Those who understood the laws and had themselves began to embrace and tap into the higher reasoning and knowledge of the source, understood that the true purpose of the constitutional form of government in the United States was to create the necessary environment that would enable man to achieve his true potential of enlightenment. The man-made doctrines and pseudo-knowledge of the Church stood in direct opposition to man's process of advancement and enlightenment. But in the same way that the American people have not even begun to bring about the full potential which the Constitution was envisioned to manifest, neither has the Church envisioned the true potential or meaning of the very Bibles which they champion and promote. And in this respect, both our constitutional form of government and the Gospels have been drawn from the same source in order to open the door to the same objectives, and because the people have failed to seize the opportunity that both our constitutional form of government and the Gospels have presented, mankind remains under a cloud of self-imposed ignorance. While it is true that the American people do not at all understand the deist foundation of the Constitution, perhaps even more objectionable is the fact that a segment of modern atheists has begun to promote themselves as deists on the basis of the deist opposition to organized religion. The problem is seen in the fact that the deists were not at all atheists, and their very enlightened understanding of the laws which are embodied in the words, "The separate and equal station to which the laws of nature and of nature's God entitle them are representative of a mind enlightened by Creator God." What the atheists fail to understand is the fact that it is the expansion of reason beyond organic carnal limitations that is responsible for the position of deism as presented in the words. Deism is the standpoint that reason and observation of the natural world, without the need for organized religion, can determine that a supreme being created the universe. Further, the term often implies that this supreme being does not intervene in human affairs or suspend the natural laws of the universe. Deists typically reject supernatural events such as prophecy and miracles, tending to assert that God, or the supreme architect, has a plan for the universe that is not to be altered by intervention in the affairs of human life. Deists believe in the existence of God without any reliance on revealed religion, religious authority, or holy books. See deism. What the Christian fails to understand is the fact that the man known as the Apostle Paul basically stated the same exact truths that are expressed in the above words which most Christians condemn. And what the quasi-atheist who claims to be a deist by virtue of their opposition to organized religion fails to comprehend is the fact that to even hold such a position which the deists promoted requires a higher knowledge and reason than what can be associated with normal human consciousness. Therefore, it can be set forth that either the deists themselves had access to a higher revelation not perceived and understood by the vast majority of mankind, or they were themselves a fraud because they would have had to manufacture this doctrinal position. And if the deists were a fraud, then the atheists and secular progressives are correct in their quest to abandon the Constitution, and the whole concept of unalienable God-given rights must be seen as spurious. So, which are they? The recipient of a higher rational thought by virtue of an enlightened understanding? An enlightened understanding that enables them to perceive and comprehend what neither the atheist or theist possesses the vision to understand? Or were the deists just a group of charlatans who manufactured a doctrine in opposition to that held by traditional Western religion? The most important concept in the above statement that neither theists or atheists understand is seen in the words that the Supreme Being does not intervene in human affairs or suspend the natural laws of the universe. Asserting that God, or the Supreme Architect, has a plan for the universe that is not to be altered by intervention in the affairs of human life. Why? Unless the deist can explain the position that the divine plan of Creator God for the universe that is not to be altered by intervention in the affairs of human life, and further explain how they arrived to such a position that others do not perceive using reason, then deism itself must be considered an anti-revealed religion hoax. In contradistinction, I can demonstrate the validity of this deist position by stating, because the will and purpose as set forth in the objectives of Creator God was laid down in the beginning, and the very spiritual DNA of the laws of God are charged with the responsibility of bringing this higher will, purpose and objectives about, there simply is no need for intervention in the affairs of human life, and that God's work was perfect, means that there is no reason for tweaking and intervention in the divine plan that faith-based and carnal reasoning is incapable of comprehending. With these facts stated, I will briefly demonstrate conclusively that while deists stated that God can be revealed through the use of reason, they were not speaking of either carnal reasoning from an atheist perspective or the blind faith reasoning associated with organized religion. In the same way that there is earthly knowledge and heavenly knowledge, there is earthly reasoning which is by its very nature bound and limited to the things of this world, and there is a heavenly reasoning and intellect to which the laws and truths of all realities are presented and revealed to the mind of the spiritually mature seeker of truth and the kingdom. And that, because both atheism and organized religion stifles and impedes the development of this heavenly knowledge, is the reason why the deists oppose the church. But even more important is the fact that the founding documents and the Constitution of the United States can not only be portrayed as a gift from God, but it is this gift that laid the foundation for men of heavenly reason and heavenly knowledge to emerge from the ignorance that immersed the church and Europe in the Dark Ages. And that man is presently entering a new phase of Dark Ages brought about by the folly of atheism and carnal reasoning. And the church has thus far failed to inhibit this new phase of Dark Ages from engulfing the minds and lives of the people, is the very reason why the time has come to understand the deist perspective of the Constitution and the laws of nature and of nature's God. In the same way that, because the church rejected the original vision and objectives of the original authors of the Gospels condemning these holy men of enlightened vision as heretics, the modern world knows virtually nothing about either the man Jesus or the core disciples who are allegorically portrayed in the Gospels, see an inconvenient truth. In like manner, because the American people know virtually nothing of any substance regarding the core deists who, in spite of both the Christians and the elitists who wanted to form a monarchy like the governments of Europe, which they were accustomed to, formed the framework of our constitutional government, that few Americans even comprehend the vision and potential of this gift from God to mankind. And I submit that in the same way that the deists were privy to a higher direct revelation that surpassed the limits of normal human reasoning, and that this direct revelation of the core deists was in harmony with the vision and objectives of the authors of the Gospels who were in like manner rejected as heretics, the framework of the constitutional government which they brought forth was born of this enlightened vision that organic man is blind to, by virtue of his own failure to properly develop his higher faculties of mind that is the shared objective of the Gospel authors. And because Americans are truly ignorant of the knowledge of our nation's forefathers, they are presently squandering away a gift that would be almost impossible to restore once it is lost. Atheists and secular progressives are presently waging a war with the concept of God-given unalienable rights, and because the American people have virtually no understanding of what the deists portrayed as the laws of nature and nature's God, or how these laws orchestrate our nation's success or failure, they are rapidly embracing atheist and secular progressive leaders who seek to undermine what they call the whole concept of American exceptionalism. Yet, it was the very laws that the core deists understood when they designed the framework of our constitutional form of government that brought about the unparalleled success of the American people. And these same American people remain ignorant of both the laws, as well as the source of knowledge that our deist forefathers tapped into, that motivates a great many of modern Americans to surrender their freedom and liberty to the very forces of worldly power that seeks to enslave them. Thus, the time has come for the American people to be enlightened as to the higher reality of the God-given gift that they are presently squandering away. Therefore, the next three main chapters and sub-chapters will provide the reader a behind-the-scenes insight into how and why the core enlightened deists were able to invoke and use the laws to benefit the whole of the American people in ways that few understand today. Modern man has absolutely no idea with respect to the depth and reality of what would be defined as true spiritual religion. Traditional religion, which is faith-based, has basically remained shallow by virtue of rejecting spiritual knowledge, and in practice, it can be said that faith-based religion dwells under the cloak of a vow of ignorance, to the degree that the majority of the people who consider themselves religious do not even understand the difference between religion and philosophy. And to their own detriment, Faith-based religion has permitted secular authorities to not only define religion, placing religion in a very confined box that equates to a spiritual coffin, but it is in fact this secular perception of religion that has become the downfall of the modern church. The clergy, who are themselves without a rudder in the sea of confusion, promote social justice and Marxist government programs as the fulfillment of the gospel. Yet, when the core principles and objectives of the gospel is truly understood, nothing could be further from the truth than what is being preached from these spiritually disenfranchised pulpits. The next chapters below will deal with the deist framework of our constitutional form of government, which is under severe attack today. Why is this knowledge important today? In the words of John Adams, "But a constitution of government, once changed from freedom, can never be restored. Liberty, once lost, is lost forever." And with the loss of liberty very quickly follows the loss of the essential First Amendment freedoms that form the basis of enlightenment and the path to man's higher objectives and goals. Again, John Adams rightfully warned, "Our Constitution was made only for a moral and religious people. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other." When John Adams makes reference to the need of religion in a constitutional government, the practice of religion meant something entirely different to him than it does to most Christians today. As a deist, in true John Lennon fashion, Adams also said, "This would be the best of all possible worlds if there were no religion in it." Yet, it was this same John Adams who was the vice president under George Washington and our second president who wrote about the essence of deism that is not at all understood today. The Ten Commandments and the Sermon on the Mount contain my religion. See Encyclopedia Britannica, Johann Adams, Deism and Religious Philosophy. Thus, from John Adams' deist perspective, religion was the lifestyle and the practice of the person's religious philosophy, which was in fact the means to bring about the manifestation of a person's beliefs in the life that they are living. The revelation of Creator God is not made to a church or organized religion, but rather, to individuals who create within themselves a condition that enables them to tap into the higher source of knowledge that both organized religion, atheists, and secular progressives all equally reject. And from a biblical perspective, this spiritual condition is portrayed as the refinement of self to make one's self the good ground that Jesus said was required to possess any degree of enlightened reason and understanding. See the sower and the seed. An interesting and appropriate statement by one of the earliest authorities of the church is that made by Clement of Alexandria when he compared the inherent weakness of faith-based religion to that of the spiritual Christians who had acquired the sacred knowledge, gnosis, of the kingdom that is. Faith is the foundation, knowledge the superstructure. By knowledge faith is perfected, for to know is more than to believe. Faith is a summary knowledge of urgent truths. Knowledge, a sure demonstration of what has been received through faith, being itself reared upon faith through the teachings of the Lord. Thus the Gnostic grasps the complete truth of all revelation from the beginning of the world to the end, piercing to the depths of Scripture, of which the believer tastes the surface only. As a consequence of this intelligent sympathy with the divine will, the Gnostic becomes in perfect unity in himself, and as far as possible like God. Definite outward observances cease to have any value for one whose being is brought into abiding harmony with that which is eternal. He has no wants, no passions. He rests in the contemplation of God, which is and will be his unfailing blessedness. The problem is that where Clement portrays the reality of the Gnostic, who grasps the complete truth of all revelation from the beginning of the world to the end, those who possess the divine knowledge of the higher reality of the soul, and the kingdom of God were condemned as heretics by the counterfeit leaders of the church and the series of Roman emperors who controlled church doctrine and dogma. And thus, because the history of the church is a perpetual environment of government control of not only church doctrine, but also the very definition of religion itself, this secularized political environment, which is actually counterfeit religion confused with what is genuine spiritual religion, has resulted in the fact that both the faith-based churches, as well as government, have colluded to embrace this secular definition of religion. Why? Why was the segment of the church that portrayed itself as orthodox totally ignorant of the core objectives of the gospel teachings? Seeking to be benefactors of a worldly government that had the inherent secular power to totally corrupt the church itself? because the church itself lacks an understanding of the very core objectives of a true spiritual religion, and this fact remains true to this very day. For the most part, what is practiced in our churches today would be better defined as secular institutionalized religion that has virtually little to nothing in common with the original core objectives and teachings of Jesus and the Gospels. In truth, the churches have lost their way because of the man-made doctrines of belief that were imposed upon the church by government in the past, who used religion as a means to maintain rule over the thinking of the people. To oppose government authority was to oppose God with the punishment of a promised eternal hell. Once properly understood, it can be said that the critics of the church, many of whom are secular progressives and atheists themselves, have absolutely no idea as to the spiritual reality and objectives of religion with respect to opening the door to achieving man's ultimate potential. Where the atheists should be assisting the religious world to escape their beliefs of a self-created demiurge by helping them search for and see the truth and the esoteric meaning of the written word of the scriptures, they have instead chosen to walk an equal path of ignorance. And since all valid knowledge begins with the knowledge of oneself, that is, Jesus in the Gospel of Thomas proclaims, "But if you will not know yourselves, you dwell in poverty, and it is you who are that poverty." Whoever finds himself is superior to the world, then the atheists who reject the self-created demiurge of much of the religious world simply has not excuse for their own blind ignorance. And as one comes to understand the journey of the soul and how, from lifetime to lifetime, the soul often switches polarities in the conflicts of life, a very different picture of self and this world begins to emerge. This more enlightened worldview, which is portrayed as the far country in the parable of the prodigal son, is in fact God's schoolhouse, which is necessary to evolve all of mankind from the alpha of ignorance to the omega of absolute knowing. But just as important is the fact that the laws made reference to by the deists are seen as the forces and guideposts which accomplish this task of evolving all souls to completion and perfection by forcing each individual to confront their own actions, inactions, and complacency to what they should have done. Many times this involves a reversal of roles, as each person directly confronts their own past actions and ways. As an example, many of the atheist activists today who oppose the church were the fire and brimstone preachers of the more distant past. Yet, while the atheists and the faith-based believers often switch polarities from life to life, their common enemy is the people of true spiritual religion who seek the divine manna, gnosis/knowledge, of the kingdom. And if we pose the question, why has the practice of genuine spiritual religion remained suppressed by both church and state? The answer is very simple, that is, it is impossible for those who possess the knowledge of the soul and the gnosis of the kingdom to be led and ruled over by despots both secular and sectarian. And thus, in order to rule over the people, the counterfeit clergy and pseudo-atheist intellectuals in conjunction with despotic secular rulers must keep the people ignorant of man's higher spiritual reality,